today on the Travel Guys.
Alaska drops its flight to Kona. Hawaiian flight attendants are voting to strike, and elderly travelers say they were tricked. Travelers say they were tricked into smuggling cocaine. Updates coming up next.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, consumer advocate Chris Elliott tells us why resort and destination fees might be one step closer to the trash can.
At 3:35, let's have a little fun and give away some prizes. Airport prices are generally ridiculous, so let's have some fun with airport prices. We have some Macy's gift cards to give away. It's a call in and win at 3:35.
And finally, at 3:55, Mark tells us why you should always put one of your shoes in the hotel safe.
One.
Yeah. Are you sure about this one, oh, wise travel guy?
One shoe in a safe? One.
Yeah, okay.
One. Yeah, I'm pretty sure about it. You'll have to listen to the entire program to find out what I'm talking about. It's the longest tease in Travel Guys history. In the meantime, let's get rolling. It's the latest edition of the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's zone.
Lord, I was born a man, man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone. Son of a gun, look who's here. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the official travel and entertainment guys, every Sunday from 3 to 4. And follow along at travelguysradio.com. You can get podcasts there, too, of past shows. If you leave town and you want to listen to the guys, go to iHeartRadio.com and download that app. That's probably the easiest. Good to see you, Mark. I know you haven't been anywhere. You've been right here in town.
I have. What a nice thing just to be around town for a while.
What does a travel guy do when he's not on the road traveling? And do you have a... What's your favorite form of non-travel entertainment?
I went yesterday to the quarterly meeting of the Lincoln Highway Association.
Well, okay,
the
yeah.
The first transcontinental road, and the California group, because the road goes through Northern California here, they meet once every quarter,
mm-hmm.
and they met at an old Mexican restaurant in Rockland, Lorenzo's. Very, very good food along the old highway. And they pick out a spot, oftentimes in the Sacramento area, sometimes down in the Bay Area, and meet every 3 months and talk about putting up signs along the old highway and festivals and things they can do to help promote it and stuff like that. Make sure that, you know, when a subdivision is being done, that they don't rip out pieces of 100-year-old pavement that can't be replaced and things like that. You know, they're just being kind of citizen watchdogs over pieces of history. And so that's kind of fun. That's one of the things that a travel guy does when he's not out traveling. He's talking about places people have traveled before him.
Well, it only makes sense. Well, let's see here. Went to the air show yesterday. In fact,
did you enjoy that?
Oh, it was great. It's always great. We, you know, take general admission and walk in and
they
get
flew
our lawn
150
chairs.
Feet over our office for the entire week.
Oh,
practicing.
Yeah.
In fact, they landed 3 times on the roof.
I'll tell you though, I do bring earplugs. It can be deafening if you choose to be close to the event. It can be dangerously close.
Big crowd?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, always a big crowd. They always pull in a lot of people. I don't know what the capacity is. I was in that area earlier today, and I think today's crowd is even bigger. Blue Angels are probably flying as we speak.
Well, the things that those guys can do with airplanes, I mean, is really quite amazing when you think how fast those are going and that you make the slightest little mistake and not only will you be history, but you'll be part of you will be here, and part of you will be 5 miles down the road, and part of you will be
Yeah, no, these guys are geniuses. They're extremely well-skilled. Don't try this at home, that's for sure.
Yeah, amen.
All right, we got a lot to cover today, and don't forget now, we're going to give away some stuff a little later on, so be listening to details on that.
And if you are a fan of the Washington Nationals, you are one of my favorite people. they're playing the Dodgers right now.
I knew where this was going.
Yeah, not right at this moment, but tonight they're playing the Dodgers. Go Nationals.
All right. Okay, at the top of every Travel Guy show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with that, here's Mark.
Oh, that's something I'm supposed to do, huh?
Here's
Mark.
Wait
a minute. Wait. No, really. I do have it here someplace. Okay. No, that's the thing we're saving for later. We don't want to talk about that right now. Okay. a lot of people are flying to Hawaii from Sacramento for a city. We went 25 years. We didn't have a single nonstop flight to Hawaii.
Right.
And finally, Hawaiian came in and did a flight to Honolulu, and everybody was ecstatic. And then Alaska showed up a few years later and did a nonstop to Maui every day. Everybody was more ecstatic. And then Hawaiian expanded and said, we'll do Maui too. And Alaska said, hey, we'll do Kona. And then Southwest showed up on the scene, and suddenly there's more flights to Hawaii than you know what to do with out of Sacramento. Well, the downside to that is that competition, sometimes you run out of people. You got more planes than you have people going to Hawaii. So the first casualty on this is Alaska Airlines in March. So if you have a reservation now, not to panic. But in March, they're going to drop that nonstop that they have been offering to Kona 3 days a week from Sacramento and 4 days a week from San Francisco. So that's the first casualty of the, shall we say, the Hawaiian air war. Southwest has taken a while to get geared up into it, but now as they are, that's the first response.
Right. So does that mean that everybody at Southwest is doing a yippee?
Well, what happens when Southwest starts on a route is the fares drop. So not only do you have more competition, but with Southwest, you immediately have lower, what the airlines call lower yield. So if you owned a grocery store and you were getting $3 for a product and your competitor opened up and suddenly you're only getting $2 for your product and it cost you $1.96 to make that product, you might say, well, you know, I don't know if this is worth it anymore.
Right.
And I think that's what the Alaska folks are doing, is that they're kind of circling the wagons, and I don't know that Alaska's going to pull out of markets. That Kona flight was something that just started here recently. So, but we'll keep an eye on it, because sometimes you get more service from one and less service from another. But considering the fact that Southwest does a pretty good job, I think the bottom line is it's a plus. Speaking of flights being dropped, you know, there was a couple years ago, Tom, a big deal about you could fly to Europe for $199 or something like that. It was basically the Spirit Frontier Sun Country model that's used domestically. You bought a ticket for a very minimum price. It didn't include anything, taxes, government taxes, anything. All that stuff was added in. By the time you got to pick a seat and your bags checked and all that stuff, you were paying pretty close to what you would have paid to fly on a real airplane. And sometimes you didn't have the same amenities. So what has happened here is that several of these guys have gone out of business. Iceland Air has now announced that they're going to stop flying to San Francisco. WOW, which was another Icelandic carrier, went out of business earlier this year. Condor Airlines is having some problem. Thomas Cook owned a bunch of airplanes, and they've gone out of business. So a lot of these folks who are offering these super cut-rate fares are gone. So what does that tell you? That when you offer a really low fare and then you screw the bejesus out of your customers every time they turn around, that might not be a business model that might be sustaining. That it might be better just to charge people a fair price, give them a fair product, and at the end of the day, see if they buy it, because these guys tried this other sort of deceptive way and hasn't worked very well for them. That's the third time that San Francisco has lost a low fare carrier. This is kind of cool. This is really cool.
Okay.
Japan Airlines has the first seating map that lets you avoid infants on an airplane.
Really? Okay.
How cool could this be? You go on their seating map.
Right.
And literally, for a Japan Airways flight and JAL, and it will show you where the small children are located. So if you want to you're looking at what seats are available and you don't want, now, you know, listen, children are wonderful human beings too, but if I don't want one in the row behind me for 9 hours across the ocean. And this gives you an opportunity to be able
what
to
avoid airline
that.
Was this now?
Japan Airlines.
Japan Air, okay, all right.
They've added a feature to its seat selection option allowing flyers to see where infants are located in the seating chart.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to have a lower rate for the seats closer to the kids and a higher rate further away?
That sounds kind of like
that'll
fun.
That'll be next.
But no, I don't think so. But if I did this. You go online and you can see they have flagged the seats where small children are. So
there's a little picture of a crying child in each word.
JAL is consistently ranked among the best carriers in the world when it comes to flying with children. So they offer a lot of special services, special meals for kids, amenity kits and the like. So they're known as being a child-friendly airline. So I think what they're trying to do is keep peace on the airplane.
It's a good idea. You know, nothing wrong with that.
It seems reasonable enough to me. There's only so many seats on the airplane, so you may be able to avoid the children for a while, but ultimately you may not. Alaska Airlines and American Airlines are breaking up. They have been partners for a number of years. Effective March 1st of next year, customers of neither airline will be able to book award seats on the other carrier using points from their home carrier. In other words, you can't take Alaska points and book an American flight or American points and book an Alaska flight. There are some other things that they are no longer getting together on. The good news is that if you are a person who has Alaska frequent flyer miles, now all of these American people, they can't access that inventory anymore. So getting seats on Alaska Airlines award seats may become just a little bit easier. Hawaiian Airlines flight attendants have set a strike vote for November the 20th. What a coincidence, setting a strike vote just before the holidays. Gives you just a little bit more leverage, especially when a new carrier is coming into the market. So Southwest, Hawaiian Airlines flight attendants, a strike vote on November the 20th. The gut feeling, talked to our man at Beat of Hawaii, and his gut feeling is he doesn't think that there will be a strike or at least one of substance, basically because of this competitive situation that's going on right now. Also, he pointed out to me that the Hawaiian flight attendants already have one of the best deals in the industry. And he says it's hard to understand why they would put that on the line and strike at a very busy time of the year when a lot of them are earning extra money. So we'll see. If you've booked a fly on United, on Hawaiian Airlines over the holidays, you might want to keep a little bit of an eye on that one. If you pick up ride shares, if you fly to LAX and you regularly pick up a ride share or you pick up a taxi, those are moving away from the terminal and you're going to have to take a shuttle now to get to them. They are doing some construction there. Traffic is already a problem at LAX, and so this will eliminate about 15% of the ongoing traffic there at the airport. It is effective immediately. So if you fly to LAX and you picked up a taxi or a ride share there, just know that you are going to have an extra challenge on your next trip into town. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. You can find us and follow along with links to our guests and such at TravelGuysRadio.com. Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, is going to join us here just on the other side of a short break. We're going to be talking this time about resort and destination fees. Might they be close to the trash can? Boy, we are all hoping so. Hear what Chris has to say next on the Travel Guys.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And once again, links to our special guest at TravelGuysRadio.com. Chris Elliott joins us again. Mark?
Chris is back to talk to us about what he calls the world's worst travel fee. And I'm right there with you, buddy. We're talking about resort fees, destination fees, urban fees. Chris, there's been some developments on this. We talked about it to our listeners about the AGs in the District of Columbia and Nebraska going after the hotels. But now there's been another development here. Bring us up to date and give us your thoughts on where this might be headed.
Yeah, this just happened recently. A bipartisan legislation has been introduced in Congress that would effectively make resort fees illegal. And just to explain what's going on with resort fees, these are fees that are typically mandatory fees that allegedly cover things like the towels at your pool and at the hotel, the use of the exercise equipment, quote-unquote free Wi-Fi. And these are added to your bill at the end of the transaction. So you would get maybe when you're trying to get a quote for a hotel rate, they will quote you $120 a night. And then as you go through the booking process, they would add these fees and it would end up being an extra $20. So you're paying actually $140 a night with all these fees. Very difficult to get the fees off of your bill. And what Congress is saying is, hey, if you're going to have a fee like that, that's fine. But you've got to quote right up front. You've got to quote the rate and it's got to include the resort fee. So that's what the legislation would basically do. And as you said before, joins these two lawsuits, Nebraska, Washington, D.C., both the AGs there are suing Marriott and Hilton, respectively, in an effort to get them to stop doing, stop having these fees and quoting them the way that they are in a very deceptive way. So it's an exciting time. It might, who knows, one of these might actually pan out and we may end up starting the next year with no resort fees anymore.
Wouldn't it be ironic in with this kind of deadlocked, do nothing sort of Congress group here that we have and a presidential administration that never a dull moment? Wouldn't it be interesting if one of the things that, and the president's a hotelier, no less. Wouldn't it be interesting if one of the things that came out of this, Chris, is that these resort fees would go away. And when we talk about them going away, what we're talking about is if they have to be divulged up front, then the hotels lose some and the people who own them and run them lose some of the financial advantages that they currently enjoy, tax advantages and the like. And plus, as you just said, if I'm looking at a hotel and it's $120 and I'm looking at a hotel and it's $150, those are two different animals. There may be a lot of other hotels priced in between $120 and $150. So it does impact, I believe, consumers' ability to make an informed decision.
I couldn't agree with you more. And the thing is I was just reading some responses to this legislation from the casinos in Las Vegas. And the casinos say, hey, we're at the forefront of being transparent about our rates. And, we've been following the Federal Trade Commission guidance, blah, blah, blah. And then another one gets in there and says, this is going to cost us $40 million a year. So I'm thinking to myself, well, which is it? If it's going to cost you $40 million, maybe you've got a problem with your transparency because you've basically been lying about your hotel rates. It's just crazy. I don't think there's anyone. Before we did this interview, we were talking about how it doesn't matter what your political persuasion is, that a hotel, an unwanted hotel fee is an unwanted hotel fee. So this thing's got bipartisan support. I can't see a scenario under which it wouldn't get passed. It is an election year. Everyone wants to curry favor with the voters. I think that this is probably going to go through.
Chris, let me ask you so that I myself and our listeners understand correctly. The big problem has been the lack of disclosure, being honest about resort fees going in. So when legislation comes down and things change, are we just going to be looking at the fact that we still have to pay the fee? It's just going to be disclosed early on. It's going to be added as part of the price and it'll still remain there. Or do you actually see them rolling these fees out back completely and not charging them anymore?
Well, there really won't be a reason to charge a resort fee. But I can really only think of one reason, and that is that if you break it up like that and you say, okay, the $20 of this is going to be a resort fee, then you don't have to pay. You do have some tax advantages, and you don't have to pay a travel agency commission on that rate. So that might be the only reason why you would still have a resort fee. But I would expect most of the resort fees to just go away because it's like saying, our rates are $120. And then the actual rate being $140, it's basically a lie. And I think they're just going to say, okay, we're done with that. We're going to actually quote a rate that is actually the rate that you're going to pay. However, you do bring up an interesting issue, and that is they might try to come up with another fee somewhere that they can charge. And then it starts all over again. The same way, remember energy fees that they had a couple of years back? Well, you know, who knows what else they might come up with.
Well, and Tom, we're talking about fees, and one of the things that has become the fee du jour all over the place, it's happening in Sacramento too, is parking fees for suburban hotels with plenty of parking. In some cases, they're parking, free parking on the street right next to the hotel in a decent neighborhood, and yet the hotel is collecting $5, $6, $7, $8, $10. We have a brand new Hampton Inn here in Sacramento over by Sac State University. They have a $6 or $8 a day parking charge. I got a room for somebody, and when I questioned the charge, they said, well, you know, if we don't charge for parking, people from Sac State will come over here and park all the time. And I'm like, God, what a lame excuse for goosing your customers, just nickeling and diming people. I don't know. I guess it seems to me to be poor business. Tell people what your product costs up front. Tell them what the advantages of buying your product are or staying in your hotel, and hope that you do a good enough job that when they come there and stay there, they'll leave you a nice review, tell their friends, and come back again.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting is that you get people who say this is really the free market at its best, is that we're charging, you know, what these fees that the market will bear, and this is, you know, in Las Vegas it's especially bad, but Orlando is bad too with these fees. Parking, Las Vegas got a big problem with parking now because they used to you used to be able to park at a casino and not pay anything. Now you have to start paying. But the truth is that one of the tenets of a free market is that you tell the truth about your prices. So this is really kind of the people who are arguing the most for these fees are actually doing something that is very, very much antithetical to their own political beliefs about a free market. And I think that that's a little bit ironic.
Tom, should we tell Chris about the fee we've discovered in Las Vegas, about the fee they're adding to drinks in some of the venues on the Strip?
And
we probably should let that go.
He'll figure it out.
It'll show up in his inbox soon enough, I'm guessing. Chris Elliott, thank you again for your time, my friend. You can find, if you are in need of a consumer advocate, anything related to travel or just not even related to travel, you're just a consumer and you have a problem or an issue, you can go to Elliott.org. There is a link at travelguysradio.com, and Chris and his team can help you, send you in the right direction to help you solve whatever problem or challenge it is that you have with a merchant out there. Chris, thank you again for being generous with your time, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
You can't get Chris Elliott in the Sacramento Bee anymore because there is no travel section, but you can get him on the Travel Guys here.
There you go. Good thing.
On a regular basis. Yes, he is a bundle of knowledge. When we come back after the news, we are going to give away some Macy's gift cards. You call us, 921-1530, 800-834-1530. Tell us things you should never buy in an airport because you're being ripped off. If you can name at least two, you win a gift card. 921-1530, 800-834-1530. Things you should never buy in an airport when the Travel Guys come back after the news on KFBK.
All right, we'll see you in about 4 minutes. Don't go away. We are the Travel Guys. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK, and not only do we come ready to make you a smarter traveler with little bits of this and that, but sometimes Mark, the big spender, shows up with gift cards.
Uh-huh.
This time from I thought they were out of business, Macy's.
Do you know why they still got stores? Do you know why you should always keep one shoe in your hotel safe?
Are you going to tell us now?
No, I'm just, it's professionally, you're supposed to tease these things, they tell me.
That's right. You mentioned this at the top of the show.
Titillate the audience by telling them something that you're not going to tell them for a while.
I figured that at the end of the show, you were never going to reveal the answer, so I forgot. I stopped thinking about it.
I have done that a couple of times, and then I usually get reminded by somebody with an email.
So why would you leave one shoe in the safe at your hotel room?
Yes. Don't, if you know, don't
details
give it away.
Coming up at the end of the program.
At the end of the program, absolutely.
No,
okay.
I don't know.
So we're going to do something fun here.
Because you left a sock.
Did
in
you
there.
Hear about the guy who got stuck in the bathroom on the United flight coming across the country?
You know, I heard. Are you ready for this? I heard it as a teaser on a news station.
Really?
And I never heard him give the.
And you never heard.
They had to divert
the plane. It was coming from Dulles. They diverted to Denver. They were going to San Francisco. They couldn't get the door of the bathroom open.
Wow.
So, and then there's, you follow with any number one of the lines that you would like to use to.
Right.
But anyway, it's, can you imagine, the plane is landing. Now, remember, the seat in the bathroom is facing a different direction, is facing perpendicular to the airplane, not parallel like the other seats. So as you're landing, how
do
you...
Did you do that on purpose?
Well, I don't know.
But it always seems that way, doesn't it?
Well, I've never been caught in a bathroom on an airplane when it was landing before. I mean, how do you brace yourself? What do you... And what if there's what if there's sloshing going on? I mean, who knows what? I have this picture of this guy with all of his arms and legs braced against different parts.
I would say that was it, and beating on the door the whole time. I'm sure they went over and said, "Sir, just be calm. As soon as we land, we will jimmy the door open or whatever it is, and get them out." Uh-huh. So, yeah, that'd be kind of frightening. I think I wouldn't like that at all.
Lots of people don't use, restrooms on a plane, because if you go in there and you do something bad, you have to open the door up and there's, people waiting to go in. I mean, not to mention the fact that there are people seated, 3 inches from the door.
And there are 50% of the passengers that wanted to use the restroom were out of luck because there was only one available.
Get this. There's three on the, you were right. There were three on the plane and one of the two in the back was not working properly. So that may have had something to do with why they decided to sit down in Denver. Anyways, we have a full phone board here, and all of these people who are waiting, our holders, saying, I wish these guys would quit BSing and take some phone calls.
Let's do it.
Otherwise, they won't take mine. So here's the premise. Things in airports are incredibly overpriced. We have put together our own list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 items here that we feel that you should never buy in an airport. Now, I'm sure there are lots more, but you have to hit our list in order to win because they're our prizes. you got to name at least two.
Special.
You got to name at least two, and if you hit at least two on the list, then you win a $50 Macy's shopping card. And if you miss, then you will hear this sound, and then we will move on to the next caller. Okay.
All right. Now, and you can't use the right answer from a previous call.
No, you have to have two fresh answers of your own. And if you miss one, why then you're out of luck. Okay.
All right.
You ready to go, Luis? You ready? All right. Barbara in Citrus Heights is our first contestant. Barbara, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you.
Okay, Barbara, what is something that you should never buy in an airport because it's just an absolute ripoff?
Magazines.
Oh, boy, right away she takes the one I've got in parentheses down here because it says magazines abroad. When you're overseas, that American magazines are going to be really overpriced. I'm going to give her that one. Okay. All right, Barbara.
Thank you.
The judges have declared... There you go. The judges have declared one. You got to get one more. What else you got?
Food.
Yes, absolutely. Meals in an airport. Meals are always more expensive. What airport are meals not more expensive in than they are on the street? There might be more than one, but I know of one.
I have no idea.
Portland. Portland prides themselves in things that are sold in the airport are available at the same for the same price somewhere in Portland. And I found it to be the prices to be much more fair. Sometimes some cities say that, and it's the prices at the ballpark or something like that. But the price is much, much more fair. All right, Barbara, meals and magazines. You hit two of the things on the list. Luis is going to put you back on hold. You've won a $50 Macy's card. We're going on to our next contestant.
Yay, that was easy.
Yes. How easy that. This is going to get a lot tougher, though, because she basically picked off the two easiest answers.
Let's go
to Paul in Sacramento. Paul, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, name a couple of things that you would never buy in an airport because they are so expensive.
Okay, I was at an Ontario airport this morning. A headset, any kind of electronic device.
That's on the list. Electronic supplies. Yep.
Did you buy something there?
What did you have to buy?
No, I needed to get that little adapter for an iPhone, and it was $24. That little cord that hooks into the headset. I didn't buy it. And then the other thing I think is an absolute ripoff is a bottle of water.
There you go.
You got another item on the list.
Did I? Beautiful.
All right. Congratulations.
Is
that a win? Is that a win?
That is a win, Paul. That is a win. Electronic supplies and bottled water. So hang on the phone here. We'll get some information from you so we can send you your prize. We've still got a full phone board here, so that's why I'm not giving out the phone number. We are looking for now, what have we got, Tom, here? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I must have had 10 things on this list. 6 things that are left now of things that you would never buy or pay for in an airport because they're too expensive. Let's see if we can find another winner here. Gary's in El Dorado. Hi, Gary.
How are you doing?
Good. Give us a couple things that you would never buy in an airport that are on our list.
Well, I'm still thinking about it. Any kind of alcoholic drink?
I'm with you there, buddy.
I think we have to look. Okay, well, the judges have declared it as illegal. It's not on my list.
It is not on your list.
But he's right. Alcohol is always more expensive in the airport. All right, Gary, give us one more.
Souvenirs.
Souvenirs is on the list. Yes,
yay,
sir. Yay, you're a winner, Gary. Thank you very much.
How many gift cards did you bring?
I don't know, but we're about to break the bank here. That's 3. Gary, hold on the line, and we will get your information. Now, those of you who are winning, it may be a couple minutes before Luis gets back to you because he's trying to set up our next
callers.
Don't
go away. Just enjoy the broadcast while on hold.
Where did you get that? That's one of your many commercial voices.
Sure, thank you.
Over the years, people in this town have heard you do thousands of commercials. They just didn't know it.
You know, I always tell folks this, but I haven't told them this on the radio, so I'm going to do it now.
Uh-huh.
I've run into friends and acquaintances or strangers that find out that I sell stuff on the radio as a job production guy.
Okay.
I apologize if I talked you into buying something that you didn't need.
That you didn't need. You've hawked a lot of stuff over the years.
I know. I go to church twice on Sundays to ask for forgiveness.
All right. There are 5 things left on our list here. Things, Tom and Mai's list, things that you should never buy in an airport because they're just too expensive. You've got to pick off 2 of them. We've been pretty liberal here so far. Let's see if we can we go to Craig in Carmichael and see what Craig's got for us. Hi, Craig.
Hello, Craig. Are you there? Oh, somebody was holding the phone for him.
You think so?
Yeah,
because okay.
I could hear another voice.
All right, let's see. Craig, you there?
Hurry up.
I think what we've got is some kind of technical problem. Let's put Craig back on hold if we can. Can we do that, Luis, and go to Roxy in Oroville? And maybe you can see if you can round up Craig there. Hi, Roxy. You're on the Travel Guys.
Hi.
So, Roxy, what are a couple things on our list here that haven't been named so far? Just to recap, we've got bottled water, souvenirs, meals, electronic supplies, magazines, and alcohol. So we're looking for 2 things that are still on our list that you would never buy at an airport.
Dark glasses.
Dark glasses.
Yeah.
Dark glasses. Dark glasses. Dark glasses. No, Roxy.
That's a good one, though. And they're probably something you shouldn't buy because they will be pricey, but they weren't on the
list,
Roxy.
They weren't on our list. Sorry, Roxy.
Is that short for Roxanne, by the way?
I don't know, but at least it's funny. Anyways, thank you, Roxy, for calling us on the Travel Guys here. Let's go back and see for a minute if we can pick up Craig. By the way, we have a line open now at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530.
Okay, Craig, are you
there
with
Craig?
Us this time?
Nope, no Craig. Okay, we have to send Craig away. 921-1530 or 800-834-1530 if you would like to tell us a couple things that you would never buy in an airport because they are too overpriced. Is my microphone cutting in and out? Or is it just cutting in and out to me?
No, just to you. Maybe just your headphone
plug.
That's
it.
What about you, Mark? What's the most expensive thing that you had to buy because you were stuck in an airport and you needed it badly?
I have been nailed several times with the electronic thing. I have paid $25 or $30 for a $3 item in the airport because you need it.
You know,
you need that cord for your charger, or you need the plug-in item, or you need some little connector thing because you're on the road.
I'm a sucker for the bottled water. You know, I will not bring my own bottle to refill.
Uh-huh. Well, and just as where is that water in the drinking fountain? Where is that water coming from?
I don't trust the water out of the drinking fountain.
All right, we've got a bunch more contestants
I'm
here.
I'm not drinking that.
Let's just... Let's get, Luis is trying to juggle about 92 things at one time here. Luis, can you give us line one for our contest here, buddy?
We'll ask them who they are.
Okay. Who do we have on the phone with us here?
This is Gary.
Okay, Gary, we're looking for a couple of items that you buy at an airport that are terribly overpriced. They have to be items on our list.
Jewelry.
Jewelry is not one of the items on our list. Sorry about that, Gary. Oh, yeah. But no doubt overpriced, but not one of the items on our list. Thank you for calling the Travel Guys, Gary.
Okay.
All right, let's go down. Try line three here, Luis. And who do we have here on line three on the Travel Guys?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Who are we speaking to?
This is Charles.
Okay, Charles. Give us a couple things that you would never buy at the airport because they're so overpriced.
Toiletries and clothing.
I have one item on here that's kind of sort of maybe, that's not really a clothing item, though, is it?
No, it's really not.
Is it? No, nope.
That's, sorry, Charles.
That's not going to work.
Let's try Sharon in Folsom on line four, please.
All right. Sharon, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you.
All right. Give us a couple of things that you would never buy at the airport.
A shoe shine?
No, that's not one of the things. See, I told you this was going to get a lot tougher.
It did.
We got further on the list. Sharon, thanks for the
okay.
call. All right. Should we try a couple more here?
Well, let's see. What do we got?
Let's go to line five here. Luis, can you pull up five for us? Poor Luis is in there trying to do like four jobs at once.
Hey there, line five. Who do we have?
Craig.
Hi, Craig. Is this the Craig we were trying to get a while ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Craig, tell us, we're looking for a couple of things here that are overpriced you would never buy in an airport.
Foreign currency.
Foreign currency is one of them. Absolutely.
Way to go.
Good job, Craig. All right. We got four left. Give us one more.
I bought one time. It was a neck pillow.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, Craig.
Way to go.
Glad you gave us a call back. You have hit two of the items on the list. Hang in here, and we'll have Luis. Luis on.
He was on line five, I think, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. All right. The other items, we need to wrap this up here.
The other
items that we had, anything from a duty-free shop. Don't ever buy anything. Now you had to be flying internationally to buy things from a duty-free shop. Now that's not always the case. But what they do in the duty-free shops is they package things differently than they're packaged on the street. So it's really hard to make a cost comparison, and sometimes they're in cute little packages, and you pay dearly for those things. So duty-free shops used to be bargains, but not anymore, except on a rare occasion. So that's one thing to avoid. And the other thing was on our list was parking. Parking.
Yeah, we were talking about that. You know, some airports, Sacramento International isn't one of them that I can think of.
And that's probably why nobody got this one.
Yeah, you know, there is the off-site parking where they will shuttle you to the terminal, and the parking there will be a lot less expensive. Parking at the terminal.
Exactly. And also Wi-Fi, you never want to pay for Wi-Fi at the airport because generally Wi-Fi is free.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks to everybody who called in. That was kind of fun. A nice way to kill 15 minutes here on a Sunday afternoon. And maybe there was something in there and you got to thinking, you know, I'm not going to buy that next time I'm at the airport. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to find out why you should always keep one shoe in the hotel safe. Right here on the Travel Guys.
We are back. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
We have a really good website.
You know, by the way, we do. It's travelguysradio.com. I think it's actually better than the show. You can avoid all of the really bad puns and such.
Jokes and everything. You can just go right to the website.
It has more information
there.
See
everything we talked about in 10 minutes and be done with the whole thing.
And a lot that we don't talk about that
this
in some
is very
cases
true.
Is even... Plus, there are videos there.
There are. There is an article about Happy Halloween on the High Line with a High Line Hotel in New York. It's a hotel on the old subway line, above ground subway line in New York that they now are using to plant flowers and all kinds of things. Leave it to New Yorkers to invent a new way to use an old subway line. Top 20 cities in the United States for vegans and vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, full disclosure, I asked you this question during the break, and
I said,
Tom, what do you think the top city is in the country for vegans and vegetarians?
I went with Portland, Oregon.
Absolutely correct. And then I asked you for number two. You said San Francisco.
I did, and I was surprised to hear that it is...
It's number eight on the list. Number two is actually Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Because of the incredible number of choices there. Because it's such a big city, there are a lot... Never mind that the choice you want may be an hour and a half drive and a three-hour traffic jam away.
Okay.
Orlando, Los Angeles... I'm sorry, Portland, Los Angeles, Orlando, Florida. That is kind of interesting, but it's a big tourism city, so I guess that makes sense. The more people you have visiting, the more options you have to have.
Nowadays, you have to have choices.
Seattle, Austin, Atlanta, New York, San Francisco, San Diego, and Tampa round out the top 10. Top cities for vegans or vegetarians. Worst city for vegans or vegetarians?
Vegas.
Vegas is number 17 here on the good list.
Oh.
Worst city, Laredo, Texas.
Should have known Texas somewhere.
Yes. New York City has the most salad shops per square root of population. New York City. Laredo has the fewest. If you fly Turkish Airlines from San Francisco, they will pick you up in Sacramento and take you to the airport. That's impressive. You have to buy your ticket through Turkish Airlines, though, not a partner or something. You have to buy it from Turkish Airlines. They will not only pick you up in Sacramento and take you to the airport, they will bring you home when you come back.
Nice. I'm guessing that it must be a pretty pricey ticket to...
Well, I would say so,
yes. To fly Turkish Airlines.
You know why you should keep one shoe in the hotel safe?
Because that's where you left the other sock.
I can't tell you that yet. It's only 3:56. You're going to have to wait a couple more minutes. Baron Hilton passed away.
Sorry to hear.
Yeah, 91 years old. Had served at the helm of Hilton Hotels Corporations for more than 30 years. Passed away in late September. And he was the son of Hilton Hotels founder Conrad Hilton. Baron Hilton, born in Dallas in 1927. Wow. Wow.
There goes another travel guy's listener.
This is kind of an interesting story. This is not a happy ending, but you remember the guy, his name was Stephen Slater. He quit his job as a flight attendant in pretty dramatic fashion. He worked for JetBlue. They got to Kennedy Airport one day on a flight from Pittsburgh. He was unhappy about, he'd had a horrible day and people had harassed the bejesus out of him. And so he told a passenger off, on the speaker so that the whole cabin could hear. He grabbed two beers from the galley, opened the door, pulled the emergency exit and went down. You remember that happening?
Hard to forget.
Yeah. Yep. Pulled the lever that activated the emergency evacuation slide and slid down, making a dramatic exit, not only from the plane, but one imagines also from his airline career. He avoided jail time, entered a guilty plea in Queens Mental Health Court, and had to agree to a year of counseling and substance abuse treatment. So there might have been a little bit more to this story. The Queens District Attorney suggested that Mr. Slater might have been depressed and perhaps drunk at the time of the incident. He took accountability for his actions. He's kind of bounced around. The last people heard of him was about a year ago. He was going to Mexico, and he was reported missing in Tijuana July the 5th, just weeks after moving there. There have been no official updates on the status of the investigation since, so he may be gone.
Well,
the guy who took the two beers and slid down he may have slid down his last emergency chute.
And there's the rest of the story.
And now you have, exactly, that's the rest of the story. You cannot get that on any other travel radio show. Listen, we talked about this thing,
thank goodness,
a ways back, this floating device that these guys put out in the ocean. I don't know if this is a travel story or not, but if we don't stop polluting the planet pretty soon, travel is going to kind of fall from popularity. These guys created a thing that will clean up the ocean, this plastic floating device, and they were having trouble getting it working and stuff like that. It's working now.
Gathering all
it's
the floating.
It's out by one of the big islands of garbage in the ocean, and it's picking things up, and they showed some pictures. In fact, if you go to travelguysradio.com. You can see a picture of it. I don't know what it has to do with travel, but right next to it is the link to for the Happy Baby seating map on Japan Airlines. So there is at least a good end to the happy end to the story, no matter what. So, Tom, you know why you should always keep one shoe in the hotel safe?
Mark, why should you keep one shoe in the hotel safe?
I don't know. Let's ask Luis. Luis on the board in there. He's suffering from overwork there from all the folks we're calling in. Why should you always keep one shoe in the hotel safe?
I have no idea.
You have no idea either.
I mean, when Mark gives us the answer, I know we're all going to go, that was so obvious.
Okay, so if you ever have a problem with leaving things in your room, I have this problem. You put things in the hotel safe and you leave them there. And so if you put one of your shoes in the hotel safe with it, you'll never leave stuff in the hotel safe ever again. Because your shoe, you'll have to have that second shoe to walk down the hallway, or you will probably notice you're missing a shoe. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why you put your shoe in the hotel safe.
As a reminder to not leave the other stuff there.
Exactly. Absolutely. You
put what about people that take, like my wife, five or six pair of shoes at one time? She might not miss one random shoe.
That could be a bit of a problem. Yes, we didn't allow for that. But anyway, I thought that was kind of a cute travel tip. Dance like nobody's watching, and we'll show up again here next week with equally inane travel information.
And one shoe.
And one shoe, which we got out of the safe.
All right. Thanks for joining us. See you next time. Stay well, my friends.